The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, the US Defence Secretary Pete Hegseth said today will be the most intense of the US strikes on Iran. He also said we're winning the war and the president had control of the throttle. For more on this, we're joined by Tara Kangaroo, global affairs journalist and author of The Heartbeat of Iran. Tara, is it just me? Or are we getting kind of mixed messages from the US? Last night you had Donald Trump saying basically the war was practically over. And today you have Pete Hegseth saying that today would be the most intense in terms of strikes on Iran. Can the two be true at the same time?
Well, I think we've been very unclear and with lots of ambiguity as to what the White House and Donald Trump's agenda is toward Iran. Today, indeed, that's what Pete Hegseth said. He also said something that stood out to me is that when, you know, the day after is going to serve our interests, and that's what matters to the president and, of course, the American people. As you and I know, and our listeners, this war started over the promise of helping the Iranian people and bringing a regime change into this country of 90 million. And we are far from that reality. We are now left with a situation where the most hardline factions and groups in Iranian politics are not only in power, but emboldened. And more than ever, the civil society has been weakened at a time that these airstrikes, according to people that I'm speaking with on the ground, despite the internet blackout, are only increasing. Last night, people were telling me the fighter jets were flying so close to the ground that they could just feel it in their living rooms. According to Red Crescent, Iranian Red Crescent, over 12,000 people have died, civilians, more than 13,000 civilian infrastructures, including, you know, homes and residences and commercial buildings have been hit. And this, again, according to Iran's Red Crescent. So what does this tell us? That the objectives of the United States, as today was reiterated by Secretary of War Hegseth, and also, by the way, was followed by the Israeli foreign minister, is to contain Iran's rogue behavior that includes its proxies in the region, a nuclear program, missiles, and this issue of Navy, by the way, was added very recently. No word of regime change and the people of Iran and what's next for a civil society that we can very clearly argue is most, you know, is at its weakest.
So is it plausible? Is it possible? Is it even most likely that what will happen is in a week or two, these strikes will tail off and that not very much really has changed? We'll have the same regime, albeit with a new supreme leader, but maybe even more hardline, if that is possible. No regime change and no major change. I mean, is that an overly bleak assessment or is that a possibility?
Most certainly it's a possibility. We know, by the way, Russia is trying to play mediator. Kremlin just announced that Putin and Iran's President Pezeshkian were on the phone today, as was Putin with the White House. So certainly we are seeing an effort to de-escalate the situation. Gulf countries are in shambles. We also have to remember, I mean, this should be interesting for your listeners, that Gulf countries are import nation, meaning that they're drinking water, their food supply. I mean, all of this is imported, and so much of that is on the halt. So this is affecting everyone, not to mention, by the way, Lebanon. I mean, over 500,000 people have been displaced. Actually, I think that number is now close to a million. So this is having a ripple effect across the region. So indeed, we are going to see in a few days or weeks or whenever that is, a moment where all of this comes to an end. But the day after, I'm afraid, again, based on the reports that I'm hearing from the ground and my understanding of the Iranian regime, we're going to be left with a semi-failed state where the civilian infrastructure is severely damaged. People are fatigued, disillusioned. The economy was already in free fall. So obviously, I don't even know if we can use the word worse and, you know, gets worse, but it's just going to be in shambles. And yeah, people are then left with the crumbles of a regime that is further emboldened, more hardline, and in this case, younger, because now Mujtaba Khamenei is the face of it. We've yet to hear from him. We don't know where he is. The rumors that he's in the hospital, we still don't know. But what I can tell you is that some of the strongest and most influential IRGC officials right now are in charge, and in some ways controlling affairs from behind the scenes.
A top Iranian security official has threatened Donald Trump, saying he has to be careful so you don't get eliminated. Is that a remotely serious threat, do you think?
I mean, the regime officials have long threatened the United States, Israel, and, you know, the officials in the U.S. And so this is part of the rhetoric that we have seen over the years from the Islamic regime. So to me, it's nothing new. And in some ways is what has caused all of this, you know, all of this, some much of this animosity over the years. Let me put it that way.
Okay. Just finally, The economic fallout of this, I mean, even if the war is scaled down in the coming days and weeks, it's likely that the economic implications will continue.
Of course, for the people of Iran, absolutely. I was speaking with a young man. He has a business where he imports medical equipment, medical machineries. And he was saying that people, you know, ordinary people are this past to almost, you know, 10 days are no longer buying oxygen concentrators for home use. So essentially, if someone's on oxygen at home, they're like, you know what, let's not buy this machine because we can't afford it, because that's how much prices have hiked over the past just 10 days. And people are just standing by. And today I saw an image coming into me from a source that was quite poignant. And I think it encapsulates your question and the impact of the economy for ordinary Iranians. So as you know, Iran is the only country in the world where you can sell your kidney privately. Of course, there's regulations, but there was a motorcycle that had a box over, you know, the back that it said kidney for sale, and it had a blood type. And my source took a photo of that and said, so imagine this person driving through the streets of Tehran as strikes are falling, wanting to sell a kidney. That's the state of affair for the Iranian people, who in January took to the streets with empty hand, and much of their grievances embedded in this economic crisis, and most likely will be left in a much worse scenario the day after this war.
Just very briefly, the wider economic implications for the world and on what's happening on the Straits of Hormuz, that is, again, I presume, unlikely to be any significant change in the coming days and weeks.
The Strait of Hormuz has always been Iran's last resort and point of leverage.
Sorry,
right?
Hormuz. I don't know what I said. Hormuz, I meant to say. No, my apologies.
No, Hormuz, yes. That narrow strait, rather, you know, 20% of the world's oil goes through that. Japan and South Korea, of course, will very much be hit if this continues. There are conversations and talks about countries tapping into their reserve. So 100%, this has a huge impact on the global economy. And that is perhaps the one thing that may cool down Donald Trump's temper and his efforts in continuing this war, because he's looking at a primary election and he certainly doesn't want to lose his MAGA base.
I think it is the one thing that does act as a restraint on him, and that is the markets, and they do seem to have a restraining influence on him. But thank you indeed, Tara Kangaroo, a global affairs journalist and author of The Heartbeat of Iran.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.